like at the time when she passed away. Mm-hmm. So if you could kind of share some ideas about that, that would be great.
Well, I'd be happy to do that.
Well,
you tell me when.
Well, why don't you just do it now? If you, because it's all going out, it's recording, so that's fine.
Okay. Well, basically, when Mrs. Nicodemus passed away, the house was, all the rooms were wallpapered.
Uh-huh.
And the wallpaper was reproductions. It was not old wallpaper, which she wanted very much to take it from some old houses and put it on her
uh-huh.
walls. But it was all reproduction paper, which was put on in the 1940s when they remodeled,
uh-huh.
When they first moved to Red Crew. And well, this was all done in 1943, and then they moved in August of 1944.
Uh-huh.
And the house then was completely restored from really sort of a fallen down stone mansion
uh-huh.
down to what you see it today. But all of the rooms, including the passageways, the upper and the lower passageway, was all wallpapered with reproduction of good quality paper.
So like a Williamsburg wallpaper that they would have, okay, like the reproductions that would have been used there.
For instance, in the, the Nicodemus room still has the same paper on that was put on back in 1944.
Mm-hmm. Now what does that look like, the Nicodemus room?
Well, just a floral design.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really have any kind of a scene of any kind. It's just basically a floral design, a gray, blackish gray
uh-huh.
kind of wallpaper.
And they decided to leave that there because that was a room for mementos of...
Well, that basically was called Mr. Nicodemus's room. That was where he read his paper, that's where he had his desk, and that's where he did his real study in that particular room. And then the other little room that they had for their dinette was a hunt scene. A fox hunt that was to show his horses and his love for horses. And of course, that was part of the scheme of things. And
now, where was the dinette area?
Okay, that's the area where you walk right in to the old kitchen there.
Oh, okay.
Where the fireplace is.
Okay.
When the Nicodemus was lived here, that was two rooms.
Uh-huh.
They had a divider that went right in, like, to the center of the fireplace. The fireplace was not there when they lived here.
It was closed up?
It was closed up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the other side of that kitchen area was a modern kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And this little half of this room then was where they ate most of the meals when they ate alone.
Uh-huh.
And that was always beautiful, and I was hoping that would be one of the rooms that they would keep the wallpaper.
Uh-huh.
It was a beautiful, beautiful wallpaper. But the other part of the house, most of the other rooms, just had floral designs.
Uh-huh.
And not animated or not a mural kind of wallpaper. It was just plain paper, other than it's just heavy, good.
Uh-huh. Good quality,
yes.
Then.
And of course, the floors and everything that was in the house was maintained, and all the floors were original with the exception of the Nicodemus room and the kitchen, this dinette area that
uh-huh.
you described.
And what was the Nicodemus room? What did they have to do there? What did they do there?
Well, what they did in that room, they took up those boards were, that was used as sort of a catch-all or a storage area. And so there was mice and rats, and they ate holes in the floor, and some of the boards were rotted away. And so they took floors up in the Fahnestock house, in the house that took back
uh-huh.
the field. Those floors was removed from the Fahnestock house and brought down and installed in the Nicodemus room, as well as the kitchen.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
So they're all floors. picking up locks and latches, and that was in the 1800 period.
Uh-huh.
And she spent a great deal of time and money just to find things that were just right.
Authentic of that period.
Very authentic. Uh-huh. And the fact that then she had locks that she couldn't, there was no key escape from these locks. And so she had Finger Geyser, which was a relative. He made brass keys for those, and that's for the kitchen, or the door where you come in off the porch into the old kitchen now. She had two brass keys made by Singer Geyser to fit that lock.
His name is Singer?
His name was Singer Geyser.
S-I-N-G-E-R, just like
right.
Singer.
Mm-hmm. And that was also a relative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a cousin. I don't think it was an uncle. I think that was a cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not positive about that, Nancy, because some of these things, all of these things, too bad that she didn't record more of this stuff and put it down on paper, but there's very little in writing. These are just things that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Related to me when we had our many, many talks.
Right.
On a daily basis.
Now, what about the use of the rooms? The dining room that is in use now as a dining room, was there a formal dining room?
That was the formal dining room.
Okay.
And that's pretty much, doesn't have near the furniture in this head with the nicknames and fit, but the dining room table, the sideboard, and the corner cupboard, they're all in that main dining room, and that's used pretty much as it was with the nicknames. It looks pretty
mm-hmm.
much like it did with the nicknames this year.
Okay.
Now, one thing is missing from that. This nickname has had a chandelier
mm-hmm.
installed in the dining room. Of course, it wasn't period to that time, so that chandelier was taken
mm-hmm.
out. It's still there in a box, but I was in hopes that they would leave that because although it wasn't authentic, it just added a dimension to that.
Right, it was pretty there.
It was beautiful. It was converted. It was a candle chandelier converted to electric.
Uh-huh.
And it came out of an old hotel in Baltimore.
Oh.
And, one that had gone bankrupt, and I think it was the Biltmore Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she was very familiar with Baltimore. And John G. Matthews, of course, was one of the people that she dealt with. And he knew all the antiques, and he knew where to find the antiques. And so he was a great source of the things that she bought for that house.
Is this a Baltimore dealer, John C.?
John G.
Matthews, okay. And then, so he kind of was on the lookout for things that she might want and would let her know if there was something available then. Okay, now the other rooms then was like the parlor and a more formal room, or how were they used?
Now the parlor, that when the Nicodemuses lived here, that was all one room.
Oh, okay.
With a square archway.
Mm-hmm.
Not an oval archway, but a square archway. And that was all one room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was decorated with, and that was really very, very crowded because that's where they all met when they had the formal dinners, and then they would all go to the parlor, and they would have their standard conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It was loaded with sofas and chairs, and you barely had room to move.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember having the two fireplaces gone, and just a beautiful homey.
Mm, I bet.
Well, I can visualize it right now.
Yeah.
Back and,
that's nice that you have those memories.
Well, I just wish I would take the time and do my book.
That would be marvelous if you would, then.
Well, it would, and I would love to do that, but I really have to, I would just have to move away from here for a
mm-hmm.
do it.
Right, to be away from distractions.
Yes, there's just too many things here that just takes away from trying to concentrate on that.
Now, also that big room then was the Nicodemus room, is that right?
Well,
the little room that is the Nicodemus room.
That has the wallpaper on yet, that where the horses are, where the pictures of the horses. That was the, that's the Nicodemus room.
Okay.
And that was basically where, as I said before, where Mr. Nicodemus did his business and read his Wall Street Journal and his Philadelphia Inquirer every day. And that was sort of his own little room. Had friends in, they met there and had their glass of sherry, and there's where they did their business transactions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what about upstairs? What was the upstairs like?
Okay, the upstairs, of course, when the Nicodemuses bought the place, there wasn't an entrance from the second floor wing, the west wing, to the main house.
Mm-hmm.
That was all separated, and there was no connecting door. So when the Nicodemuses bought that, then they put an opening in the from the west wing into the main part of the house, so that they would have access to a separate bathroom, the guest room. They had what they called the guest room, then the what is now known as the child's room. They had built that was a full bath.
Uh-huh.
Bath in there for their guests. And then the I will go by the northeast with the bedroom, which they always called the sick room. And if anybody was ill, then that was the room where they would go until they were better. Of course, that's the room where Nicodemus died. And then across the hall was the main master bedroom. That had its separate little door cut in so that they could go to their dressing room and their bathroom without disturbing the rest of the house.
Now, where was their bathroom and dressing room?
Okay, their bedroom was the west, northwest section of the main
okay, all right, I'm oriented now. And that's in front of where they have the changing displays, is that correct? Okay.
Correct.
Okay. And that was their main bedroom, master bedroom.
That was the master bedroom.
And then where would their bathroom have been?
Okay, the bathroom would have been across. They had a little boxed-in, what I would call that, like an alcove. Had two doors, that went over into where the office is now.
Oh, okay, all right.
Now the back, this would have been the south, west
section
of the office.
Right, okay.
The full bank.
Okay.
The office, the northwest office, as it is today, that was the cadence's dressing room.
Okay.
And then the big cupboards that went from the floor to the ceiling, where she had all of her clothes.
Okay.
That also had a fireplace in it with the Nicodemus lived here.
The master bedroom or the dressing room?
Well, the master bedroom had one, but the dressing room had a fireplace.
Fireplace too.
So now that was put in by them.
Okay.
And of course, when the house was changed back, that fireplace was closed in and the one in the kitchen was replaced.
Okay.
Reopened.
And then the room where the changing exhibits are, what was that?
That was the guest bedroom.
Okay.
That's where the big four-poster bird's-eye maple bedstead was.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that's in the, what you now call the northeast bedroom, or the country bedroom.
Okay, all right.
That bed was in there, and that was the guest bedroom.
And how about the bed where the Nicodemus is? Is that on display, or was that not in keeping with the period?
No, that is on display, and that is that's a four-poster bed. That's I'm not sure whether it is mahogany or whether it is cherry, but that's what they call a Charleston bed. as massive as the curly bean.
Uh-huh.
But a beautiful bed, and that I think that came from the Baltimore shop, John G. Matthews. Also.
Okay, now that is in what the master bedroom is where it's displayed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and you said the children's room was the bathroom, the one that was that's fixed up now as the children's play. Children's room. That was the bathroom.
That was the full bath. Mm-hmm.
Full bath.
Yep.
And that was for the guests there.
That was the guests.
And the sick room, if
right.
anyone who was sick then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the house, you know, the house is it's a massive house, but you know, there wasn't, of course it had different uses, and when the tenant farmers lived there, I'm sure they used some of the downstairs rooms for bedrooms too.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it wouldn't have been bathrooms, so they would have been, bedrooms were the bathrooms, where the Nicodemus put bathrooms, they would have been bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't a lot of bedrooms for a big house like that.
That's true, there weren't, were there?
No.
Just really three bedrooms.
Just three bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And the one in what is now the office area, of course, that would have been basically used for hired help.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there was no connecting door between the second floor annex or the west wing to the main part of the house. And then, of course, the Nicodemus was used the upper balcony for when they, in the summertime when it was hot,
mm-hmm.
that is a sort of a summer bedroom where it was screened in, where they slept out on the balcony.
Well, now, did they, the part that was not accessible, that has been closed off, did they use that for any purpose, like hired people lived there?
No, not while they lived there. Everything, they utilized everything for their own particular needs.
Uh-huh. Let's see, do you remember about the drapes or anything in that line at all? Remember?
Yes. All the windows had, they were white, not linen, they were basically white cotton curtains
mm-hmm.
in front.
Mm-hmm.
All of the windows, of course, were painted white.
Okay.
And all the woodwork inside the house was painted white. And then each room had its own drapes.
Uh-huh.
All individually made and custom made for those particular rooms. And of course, they were the original ones that they made in the 40s, and they were there up until the time of Mr. Nicodemus' death.
Uh-huh.
So they lasted quite a while.
Yes, they were good quality then.
They were good quality, but they had really, we did dispose of them because they were really
faded
out,
mm-hmm.
and the backs, of course, had all split, and but they were, oh gosh, I'm trying to think what that material was, but it was heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, she never did anything unless it was just about perfect.
Okay.
She really followed through the whole scheme of things.
Now, did she seem to want to collect of the period of the time of the house? Is that what her collection, her furniture and things were, or what was her
basically, Betsy, her collection was not necessarily of that period. It could be older.
Mm-hmm.
The older, the better. And in fact, her oldest piece, I guess, goes back to 1775. Which is a blanket chest,
mm-hmm.
and that's the one that has that sulfur inlay, which is in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now that is the oldest piece, 1775. Then there's one 1792, but most of the things that she bought was of the period of the house. But if it was older, that was fine.
It was okay.
That was fine. As long as it was older. And she didn't buy anything that she wasn't going to use. You know, now that didn't mean that there wasn't a lot of things in storage, because
mm-hmm.
old sofas. So she had three of those sofas made by John G. Matthews in Baltimore to represent the period sofa that would have been used at the time of the house. So not everything was exactly authentic, but if she couldn't buy it authentic, then she would have it made over the same scale and over the same pattern that would have been period.
So she did a lot of research in finding what she wanted then.
She really, I guess, I didn't appreciate it as much back then when I first came on the scene as I do now, and can understand the painstaking ways that she went about doing this. And I know sometimes her husband would say, "Jeez, is there any end to this?" how you women are.
Yeah, right. We want everything to be just perfect.
well, and you know, I love that. I love that. It's and I think that if it wouldn't have been for someone like Mrs. Nicodemus, we wouldn't know any different because probably would be turned into some house that wouldn't be accessible to the general public.
Right, right.
It's I really think that Mrs. Nicodemus had in mind many years even before she was married. I can't help but think some of the stories that she would relate to me, that she didn't think about this house as being her own little imaginative house sometime in the future, because she'd come out here and go fishing with her dad. Her dad was a great fisherman. So as a little girl, she'd come out here, and she often talked about how she would come out and admire this old house and the creek passing through it.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that in her imagination, that one day she thought she might open it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that for sure, but hey, I think the love that she showed and the love that she had for this place, and to perpetuate that, to say, I just want this place to continue to go on forever and ever and ever. And I just can't help but think that it wasn't a dream, a childhood dream of hers.
Mm-hmm.
Back when.
Could have been. That's probably maybe was in her thinking all along.
Well, I think a lot of people would have thought Mrs. Nicodemus as a little eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
She had some very peculiar, she had some very peculiar ways, sort of unique to herself. And she always knew what she wanted. And sometimes it was rather bizarre, some of the things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she knew. She knew, she researched, she talked, she studied, she would get books, and she knew exactly what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God she had a husband that was willing to, go along.
Right, and the money that she could do
right,
it, too.
Right.
Now, on the hardwood floors, did she have oriental rugs, or what did they have on the floor then?
She had some oriental rugs. She had oriental rugs in the dining room, the formal dining room. There was an oriental rug in the Nicodemus room. There was two very elaborate hook rugs in the parlors, in the two parlors. They were handmade. And they were just beautifully done and very well done, and they were in the two living rooms. They were big round rugs that sat right in front, laid right in front of the fireplace.
Were they like braided, or were they hooked with a picture?
Well, they were braided, and they were
about upstairs then in the bedrooms? Did they have rugs up there?
She had, there was an oriental rug, I'm trying to think. The oriental rug that's in the front parlor now, I believe that was in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I'm correct on that now. I know there was an oriental rug. She didn't have a lot of oriental rugs. She had a few small ones. One in the dining room, of course, and the one in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But most of the areas was just throw rugs.
Mm-hmm.
It was not rugs that covered the whole
thing. With the hardwood floor showing through that.
Right.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you can think of that I haven't asked or mentioned? How it looked, you know, mainly when she was living there and when she passed away. How about the, was there a furnace for the central heating or radiators or what?
Up until the time that Nicodemus lived there, there was no central heat.
Mm-hmm.
There was water, water in the kitchen area, and they heated it with the stoves because most of the, well, in fact, only one fireplace was operable when the Nicodemus bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they restored all the fireplaces and made them
Okay, how many fireplaces did they have that were workable then?
They had seven fireplaces.
Seven fireplaces workable.
And they were all functional.
Okay, they had one in the kitchen.
There wasn't one in the kitchen when the Nicodemus lived there.
Oh, okay, that was opened up for then, right.
There was one there.
Okay, where were the ones that they could have used, the seven?
The ones that they used was in the formal dining room,
mm-hmm.
the Nicodemus room,
mm-hmm.
One of the parlors.
Right, okay.
One on the second floor in what we call the country bedroom.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the master bedroom.
Right.
And the dressing
room. Right, okay. And they did use them at certain times?
They used the only one that I don't remember ever being used was the one in the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that one ever being used. But all the rest was used. Party, we would have all the ones downstairs, we would have those going.
Mm-hmm.
I remember firing those very well.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, and cleaning up after it was finished then, right?
She was such a meticulous person about that. She
mm-hmm.
was scared to death of fire.
Yeah.
She still loved those fireplaces and always had the fireplaces going when there was a bridge game or a party.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always say, now don't make it a big fire. Always keep the fire
small. Right.
I don't want it to last just as long as the party lasts.
Right, while the people are there then. So it was then, the main heating was by radiators?
We had hot water.
Yeah, okay.
The furnace, I didn't finish that part of the story. It of course was during World War II when they remodeled the house. And they couldn't get a brand new furnace. So the furnace that they put in came out of the house on the corner of King and Grand Street.
Mm-hmm.
The old D.M. Wirtz house.
Mm-hmm.
D.M. Wirtz had ordered a furnace and just came in. And of course, he was a good friend of Mr. Nicodemus because he was in the orchard business too.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that old furnace out in three sections, brought it out here, put it in this house. Just brought it out here and put it in this house. And that's what they used until 1970 when I replaced that furnace with the furnace that's in now.
Okay.
And now, of course, we've taken all the radiators out, and now it's back where it was.
Mm-hmm, right.
Trying to camouflage the modern day heating, and they did an excellent job.
Yeah, I think too.
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of any other things unless you have something that you could think of that would be of interest.
Let's see, I'm sure that if we talk long enough, we could just keep on going.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Write my book.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I'll let that up to you. Well, I do thank you very much for your